Hello, Jim Marie. As Gomer used to say, surprise, surprise. Good to see you folks. Are you in transit or are you moving back?
No, we're in transit.
Could we persuade you differently?
We'll be here for 5 days.
It's good to see you. Good to see you. You have to take a look. If you haven't not been down the fellowship hall, you'll need to go down and take a look at that.
We'll head there after.
Yeah. Tremendous. All right. We are in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Last week, we studied the pathway to hope. In chapter 4, Paul uses two Old Testament characters to illustrate what he taught at the conclusion of chapter 3, how man can be right with God. He spent 3.5 chapters bringing man guilty, a little over a half a chapter, 7-8 verses, telling man how he can be right with God. The conclusion of chapter 3. Then chapter 4, he uses two Old Testament characters to illustrate it. And in using one of those characters, Abraham, he spoke concerning Abraham's hope in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. He spoke about Abraham's hope. And then as you get over into chapter 5, you find that hope reappearing. As I said 2 weeks ago and last Wednesday night, chapter 5 is kind of a pivotal chapter. It is closing the door on what we've covered thus far and beginning to open the door to a new subject. In preparation for chapter 6. So it's kind of a hinge. It's kind of a pivotal chapter, chapter 5 is. And where he takes us is somewhat, to the human mind, a little bit difficult to understand. Because in the path, and I don't have the time to go back and review and go back over last week, study, or we won't get tonight's study done, but involved in the pathway to this hope is tribulation and trials. To get there, you go through trials, you go through tribulation, and we're to glory in them. Not only are we going to go through them, but we're to glory in them. Now that goes absolute, total contradictory to the human nature. Total against the human nature. The pathway to this hope involves tribulation and trials, and we are to glory in them. That's it. Now, why is it important to go to this journey of hope? Because hope is our confidence. As I said last week, I looked that word up, hope, in the Greek. Never did it before. I just assumed the word hope, because it's so often used, would be in the appendix without any definition. But last week, out of curiosity, I just happened to look it up, and it's in the concordance. And the word is elpis, E-L-P-E-C-E. And it means to anticipate, to expect, or expectations. And thirdly, confidence. And we can narrow that down just to one word, assurance. We, in our theology, which we declare to be biblical from the Bible, we believe in eternal security. we are confident, we are secured in Christ. Once you put your faith in Christ, you have eternal life, you are secured. We believe that. You can never lose it. Hope, and the pathway to that, is what builds that security. And the way that God chooses for us to reach that is trials. Now, isn't that strange to the human mind? Yep. That's how God chooses that. A lot of people never reach the understanding or the acceptance that I am eternally secure. I'm eternally saved. They won't believe it. They don't accept it. Many religions and denominations deny it. There is no such thing taught in the Bible. Yet the pathway to hope, which Abraham had, and Paul is bringing up into our life, and this is there's a reason for this. Because when you get over into chapter 6, 7, and 8, you better have some confidence. You better have assurance nailed down. You better get your assurance nailed down in chapter 5, or you're not going to handle the next three chapters. Not going to do it. Because chapter 6, 7, and 8 is, what do we do with sin after we're saved? What do you do with sin after you're saved? Yep. So we better get it settled in chapter 5, or we'll never survive chapter 6 and chapter 7 for sure. So it says that in verse 3, we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. Now, let me give you this again. Tribulation produces patience. Patience produces experience, and experience produces hope. That's the pathway right there. And to reach the destiny, you got to glory in the tribulation, or you're not going to pass the test. You're not going to understand the experience. If you don't pass the test, guess what? You get the test again. And again. And again. That's called spiritual growth. That's the pathway to spiritual growth. And the first thing that a Christian needs to get settled in their heart, I'm eternally saved. I'm eternally secure. Because if we live this roller coaster up and down emotional feelings and all of that, not going to amount to much. And we're certainly not ever going to make it over to chapter 12 where it has to do with service. So we've got to get it nailed down right here. That's why that's here. And he wastes no time to bring it up. He wastes no time to bring up the pathway to this hope that Abraham had, and that every one of us that's born again by the path of salvation. This is the pathway to security, pathway to assurance, which means, again, anticipate and expectations and confidence. That's what the word hope means. To reach that, we go through this pathway that begins with trials and tribulations. And trials and tribulations produces patience. And patience experience, and experience right back to hope, your confidence. Now, God's not going to do for us what we need to do for ourselves. He gives us these trials for a purpose. He gives us these trials, tribulations, to bring us on this pathway. On this pathway. Because I want to tell you, there's some tough stuff to deal with over in chapter 6 and chapter 7. It's called frustration. Now, I can tell you, everybody, if I ask in here tonight, how many of you have never been frustrated in your Christian life? You've never been frustrated. I'm sure every hand would go up. We get frustrated. I get frustrated with me. Me. And there's a reason for that. If we don't learn in the trial, then we don't have the experience. So then we get to do it all over again. And some people live in a circle cycle, like this, round and around. You never move forward, just existing. Just existing. Never moving forward, just existing. And sometimes they're pretty content with that. Now, to show you two verses that I told you in closing last Wednesday night we would look at. One, the personal life of Paul. Paul taught this. Paul experienced this. It's nice to teach what you've already experienced. I've been at this, I'm in my 43rd year, and I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of experiences. A lot of experiences. Some of them not too pleasant, and some of them not past. I'll tell you, when you get into a trial, the first thing you have to do is accept it from God. If you're a Christian and you get in a turbulence, you have to accept it. God has a purpose for this. God's got a purpose for this. He's got a reason for it. God never makes a mistake. And boy, making that step, that gives you the right attitude. Accepting it gives you the right attitude. And without that, then we go through it angry and mad, which we're going to see at the conclusion of our study tonight, and we don't pass, and we don't experience, and we don't gain. So, we'll leave chapter 5 for just a moment. Let's go back to the personal testimony of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians, then we'll go to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we've taught on this, and if I can get this right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We have commented on this, we've taught on it, we have mentioned it, it's nothing new tonight, but it is an experience in the life of Paul, exactly what he's teaching in chapter 5 of the book of Romans. He experienced it himself. Now, he talks about this glory. Talks about this glory. And we'll pick up reading in verse 5 of chapter 12. Of such a one will I glory. He is rehearsing all that he has experienced since he met the Lord on that day at the road of Damascus. All that he's experienced and all what the Lord has allowed him to go through. He said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. But in my infirmities. There he says it. Where's he going to glory? In my infirmities. Now, verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, that's my flesh. We're going to meet Mr. Flesh. We're going to have a good look at Mr. Flesh in chapter 7. A good look at Mr. Flesh. But though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. There was some that hated Paul, and there was many that held him to high degree. When he told the Ephesus church, he said, your face you'll see me no more. And boy, they wept and cried and fell off on his neck and wept and cried on the seashore there of the Aegean Sea. And Paul said, my face you'll see no more. It broke her heart. Not all people was broken. Some were happy. Now in verse 7, and least I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, he's speaking about his writings, the New Testament. Paul's being, he's writing this, and he understands this. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Because of what I've accomplished and am doing for God, God gave me something to help me. And he resembled it symbolically as a thorn in the flesh. You ever been pricked by a thorn? They're not pleasant. Of course, this is symbolic, but notice where it's at. It's not in his spiritual life. It's not in his spiritual life. Didn't say, God gave me a thorn in my soul. No. Gave me a thorn in his problem. Gave me a thorn in the flesh. And then he goes on to say, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Oh boy, I've been there. Lest I should be exalted above measure. God's got a way of keeping you humble. God's got a way of keeping you in where you belong. So he gave me a thorn. We don't know what that thorn is. Many people and some theologians believe it was his eyes. Paul was nearly blind. And many contribute that to the bright light that he had. He actually was blind for 3 days on the road to Damascus. And many believe that that experience in salvation later caused him difficulties in his physical being. Now, I'm in no way Apostle Paul, but I am what I am by the grace of God, like Paul said. But God had to about kill him to get his attention. And I can't identify with that. In 1976, I was electrocuted. I've got the mark of death right there in my finger where it burnt clear into my bone. As a result of that, and it took that for God to get my attention, laying face down, stretched out in mud and water under a crawl space, and I was electrocuted. I couldn't move a muscle in my body. He had me pinned right where he wanted me. He got my attention. But it took that. And I have today side effects from what God had to use to get me saved. That's what Paul's saying, I believe. I've got this problem. And many believe, like I have problem with nerves. A lot of that's due to being electrocuted. I've lost all the hearing out of this ear. It's affected my whole right side. Excuse me. And that's what Paul's saying. Sometimes what it takes for God to get us saved later on in life, we have to live with those effects in our flesh because we were so hard and we were so bullish against him that he about had to kill us to get our attention. I can identify with that. I can identify with that. So, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. We read that verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said, I had a prayer meeting. I asked him 3 times. And he said unto me, remember what we taught 2 weeks ago? We have access to what? We must... In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we access what? Grace. And I want to tell you, in the trial, in the tribulations, you need and I need grace. Not deliverance. If God gave us deliverance from the trial and tribulation, we'd never make it down the path that God's taken us. To accomplish the goal. So we have access in Romans chapter 5 verse 2. We have access into this grace because folks, we're going to need it. We're going to need it. So we have grace more than just to save us. We have grace daily to live and go through Well, the Lord allows whatever to be put on our plate for that day or that week or that month, or that 1 year or whatever. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I, and there's your word. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. I preached this to the pastor's fellowship a couple years ago over in Cambridge, and I want to tell you, 90% of the preachers, it was like I had the plague of leprosy after the meeting was over. They avoided me like plague. I preached this. Allow God to take you and your ministries through trials. There's a purpose for it. Boy, they didn't like that. They didn't like it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The very thing he's teaching the church at Rome in chapter 5, he experienced right there in his own life. And he had the right attitude. When God said, I'm not going to answer your prayer. I'm going to answer your prayer. I heard you. But you're not going to get deliverance, you're going to get grace. Because if you get deliverance, and I deliver you and take this from you, you know, we often pray for people to be healed. It may not be God's will for them to be healed. We often pray for different infirmities in here, and people have sicknesses and problems and things like that. God may have a purpose for that. We have to be careful. We always must pray at the end, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Whatever you're doing, your will be done. And we need to pray for the individual, help the individual, whatever your purpose, to have a right attitude and accept it from you. Yes. Yeah. There it is. So the pathway to hope after being saved, the pathway to hope, which is confidence, assurance that God wants us to come to, the pathway to get there is going to involve trials. Trials. Tribulations. And we're to have the attitude, I'll have pleasure in them. Now I want to tell you something. Your flesh is not going to do that. Your flesh is not going to do that. It's not the human nature. Take pleasure when things get tough and rough to take pleasure in it. But you see, God is on the path. He's taking us to the path. Remember what I taught a couple Sundays ago? Thy way, O Lord, is through the sea. Through great waters. Maybe I taught it here. Maybe I taught it on the devotion on Thursdays. I taught it somewhere. Just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've been doing a lot of teaching. I'm getting prepared to do a whole lot more as I go to Marietta every week. Now, so there it is. What Paul was teaching, Paul experienced. There's no greater teacher than experience. And what is one of the avenues that comes from tribulation? Experience. But the experience don't come if we don't have the right attitude and accept it. Now, stopping off back at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a tremendous verse. This is a tremendous verse. Excuse me. I'm having an awful time with this mic. Paul is dealing in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians concerning that first generation that God delivered out of Egypt. And he tells the people in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed a destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Here we go. Here's our verse. You see, in the Old Testament, after deliverance, we don't have any water. We don't have any bread. He brought us all out here to die. You don't have any sepulchers back in Egypt that we could have died there. He brought us out here to kill us. There's no food. There's no water out here. We're in a desert. Can you hear him? Can you hear him? We're going back to Egypt. We don't. There's giants up there. We're not going up in that land. We're not going. We're going back to Egypt. We'll just die in this wilderness. Finally, God said, you get your request. If that's what you want, that's what you can have. You die in the wilderness. You're not going back to Egypt because that'll break my picture. You can't go back to Egypt. But if you want to die here in defeat, go ahead. And they did. Now, here's what he says in verse 13. There hath no temptation or trial. The word there is really trial. Taken you, but such as is common to man. You've never went through anything but what somebody else has already been there before you. That's what Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. It may be a little bit more advanced. It may be a little bit more complicated. But there's nothing new under the sun. No matter where you've been, where you're going, somebody else has already been there also. And I'll tell you, the master of them all that's been there, and his name is Jesus. He's been there. Hebrews 2:18, we won't take the time to turn there. There is no temptation taken you, but it is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, or allow you. The word suffer there, old word we don't use. He will not allow you or to suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He'll never take you or lead you anywhere but what you can't go through it. He knows you better than you know yourself. He can take us through some valleys that he can't take others. And he can take some in deeper valleys than he can others. But he'll never take us through anything that we're not able to bear. We have to believe that. We have to claim it. He will not allow you to be tempted by that you're able, but will with the temptation or with the trial also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He's not only going to give you a tribulation, he's not going to give you a trial. All people have been through it. They've all been tested. It's all common. You're not going anywhere but what somebody has already been there. And I give you an example. Moses led those people out of Egypt. And he took them by way. God said, I'm not taking them that direction. It's short. But that I know the people and it ain't going to work. So I'm taking them down to the desert. So down they went. And they came to the Red Sea. Oh, listen to them at the Red Sea. Oh! Oh! They about killed Moses. Now, how'd they end up there? God led them there. God led them there. And there's the Red Sea, that massive body of water before them, and behind them is coming Pharaoh. And they know that cat. They've been around that man a while. They've been down in Egypt 430 years. They know what he's able to do. So him and his chariots and all of his armies is behind them, and the Red Sea is in front of them. And who led them there? God did. And what seemingly became an absolute total impossibility, that trial standing before us and the trial standing behind us, here we are, and God takes what's impossible and opens it up and makes a way to escape. That's exactly what Paul said. He'll take the very trial that you're going through and give you a way to escape it. You got to be patient. You got to be patient. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. That's how we arrive. And when they got over on the other sea, on the other side, and they looked back and they said, wow! And then they saw the double deliverance. All their enemies, what delivered them, destroyed the enemies. Boy, there's that verse. And that's exactly in context with that generation of people that was delivered. That's where that verse is given in conclusion to the context of that first generation that were murmurers and complainers and gripers. You know what they had? They needed an attitude adjustment. And God has a very perfect way of adjusting attitudes. Yep. He'll just make the trial more deeper. More deeper. More wearier. So God makes a way. We have to be patient. Tribulation, back in Romans chapter 5 now. And boy, we're out of time. Tribulation worketh patience. You got to be patient. And that's exactly what Abraham did. Abraham waited 25 years. That was the trial. Time. Time was the trial. That was the trial. That was the test. Are you going to be patient and wait on me? We can't. We have a hard time waiting 25 minutes. Much less 25 years. But that was the hope. That was the confidence. That was the expectation. What God is able, God said, God is able to do. I expect Him to do it. That was the trial. Time. Time. But anyway, in verse 3 of chapter 5, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. That's an attitude. Glory in tribulations. But before we glory in the tribulations, you see, we have to have that hope in the last part of verse 2 in hope of the glory of God. See, you gotta be positioned right. And you do that because you have access by faith into this grace. And Paul accessed it. We just read about it. Personal experience. Personal experience. They stoned him in Lystra. They thought he was dead. After a while, he got up, and many people believe he did die, and he had that experience. And he got up and walked on over east. I don't remember the exact communities he went to. Turned right around and came right back through Lystra where they had stoned him to death just a few days before. Yep. And met with the people. Imprisoned him, beat him, threatened his life. He went through it. But he reaped some things he sowed before he met the Lord. Just like we all do in our flesh. When we are stubborn and won't give in and accept the Lord as our Savior, and we have things that happen in our flesh like me, like it took, God had to about kill me, electrocuted me, get my attention, because people were praying for me to be saved. And God had a plan for me before I was ever saved. That was to be a preacher. took me from a bar stool and put me in a pulpit within a year. That's God. That's God. Not man. That's God. But boy, I have to deal with some physical infirmities today because of it. Now, so we glory, but we have to have the glory and the hope of God and the glory of God so that we can glory in the tribulations. You got to have the spiritual before you can take care of the physical. And boy, that's attitude right there. I know a lot of people that call themselves Christians that need a good old attitude adjustment. And God's able to do it. God's able to do it. Now, so the pathway, again, verse 3 of chapter 5, Romans. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. There's your word. Takes you right back. Now, verse 5, and this is our lesson tonight. It's 8 o'clock. This is where I was going tonight. And hope maketh not ashamed. You see, when you're going through it, and you're going through turbulences and trials, and you're going through difficulties, mouths start wagging, and people start talking, and bringing opinions, and so forth, like Job's three friends. Like somebody said, if I had friends like that, I certainly wouldn't need any enemies. And sometimes the people are more difficult than the tribe. That's what Job told his brother. That's what he told his friends. Not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. Don't question when you find yourself in a difficulty. Loretta's daughter is in a difficult area. She is in a difficult valley. I feel sorry for her. Was this the fourth time it's come back, or the fourth time she's had to deal with this? And I our prayers and our heart goes out to her. God has a purpose. Never makes a mistake. It'd be our desire, God just remove it from her body. It may not be his. We have to pray like Jesus, not my will but thine be done. But we have to have a positive spiritual attitude. And we have to accept it if we're going to move forward on this path. And it's a pathway of what I would call Christian experiences. And the more I move forward on this pathway to Christian experiences that I go through, the more hope I have as I see his hand, as Frosty taught Sunday so brilliantly. You see his hand, the mighty hand of God, working like the children of Israel did at the sea. You see him. You see him in his work. You see him in his person. Not visibly, but you see him at work. Oh, I could stand here tonight for hours and hours and hours and tell you the experiences where I've seen the hand of God. The hand of God. So we don't need to be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Paul said, hope maketh not ashamed. No. You got this hope. You're not ashamed. When you go down this pathway to your end, you don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed of whatever he may take you. Now he's going to introduce us for the first time. Because the love of God, there it is. It's taken him to chapter 5 to mention God's love. He's not mentioned the love of God until right there. Right there. That was going to be our lesson tonight, the love of God, in the path to hope, the love of God. You see, God the Father had a path for God the Son. God the Son had a path. So you don't need to be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's the fruit of the Spirit, love. First time it's mentioned. And all of the ugliness of man in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, sinners and ungodly, and all the description of their ungodly acts. You don't have love mentioned not one time until you come down to find out, I've got a path that I've got to go to, I can reach this experience with God. And what's going to take me down is not only God's grace, but God's love in my heart. Because I'll tell you, when you get in trials, it's very easy to get bitter. How many people do you know tonight sitting out there somewhere, family, friend, somebody, that's bitter? Bitter at God, bitter at church, bitter. They're bitter. They didn't learn the experience. And they're bitter. Bitter. That won't happen if we go down the path God's way. And that's what we're studying this for, the love of God. And then he mentions love in the rest of the book 10 more times. Doesn't mention it till right here, till he deals with this pathway. And then he mentions love 10 more times in the rest of the book. We'll look at some of those. So we're going to look at love. We got grace on the journey. Now we got love on the journey. Love. Not hatred, bitterness, vengeance, love. All right. We'll be saying farewell to our Facebook friends at this time. Thank you for connecting with us on this Wednesday evening here. A little warm tonight. Glad you have the time to be with us. Trust that the Bible study was an encouragement and strength to you. If we can be of help to you, certainly contact us, and we'd be glad to help you in any way that we can. So until Sunday morning at approximately 11 o'clock, farewell, stay blessed, stay safe, and we'll be disconnecting at this time. All right. Shall we stand? Jim, Marie, again, good to see you. Is it cold up north in Vermont?
Not bad. 47, 48 in the morning.
Perfect. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this oasis in the desert, to come apart from the activities of this world and activities of this country and society, and so much confusion and conflict. We can come here in this peace of this building and meet with you, with thy people, around thy word. Pray, lift all of our prayer requests up to thee. Send help to help in a time of need. Lord, may your will be done in every situation. And Lord, take thy word tonight. Encourage our hearts. You don't want to see us destroyed. You want to see us encouraged, strengthened. You want to see us moving forward in our Christian experience with thee. And that comes, unfortunately, as you chose, not unfortunately spiritually, but unfortunately for this flesh. You choose trials and tribulations to reach it. Help us to learn it, accept it, have a right attitude. Lord, we fail so often, so many times. Take thy word, use it to advance our Christian life and walk with thee, not only within this building, but as thy word has went out beyond the four walls as well. And now, Lord, keep us safe, keep our church family safe, keep us blessed. Until we meet again, dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming out this evening.